to you, and it'll be on the screen, but I'd really encourage you to take your Bibles in hand, maybe bring it up on your phones or tablets or whatever, and just have this before you today. And again, just ask the Lord, what does he want to say through these amazing words today? So Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul, guides me along the paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I'm going to be looking at Psalm 23, as I've said, for a couple of Sundays. Linda's going to be unpacking the latter part next week. And I've just got one verse, really, I want to kind of focus on and make the sort of big part of what I want to say today. So Psalm 23, if you want to get your Bibles, get it in front of you. It's good to have it there. I know probably we could have it on the screen, but it's good to have it in front of you. Good to have it in your hands. This is the psalm, as I've said, for today as part of our kind of general reading. We put a reading plan together for the church through this time, and we're using a psalm each Sunday. Okay, and today's psalm is Psalm 23, and it's really interesting that this has been coming up in so many different parts of things I've been watching and listening and reading over the past week. Jem's been doing a thought for the day, and he talked about the Lord is our shepherd. I think it was on Thursday or Friday, I can't remember now. And I was listening to the Elim Leaders Summit. It's great, all these things are online. You can just tap in and enjoy different bits. And Elim Leaders Summit, it was Malcolm Duncan, an excellent talk. And he again was talking about Psalm 23. I also preached from this passage at two funerals recently. And it's often a passage that is read on occasions such as those. And I started those sermons, those times, by asking those people present this question: what is God like? What is God like? I wonder, and actually I really believe that is a question on people's lips and on their minds a lot at the moment. You know, we heard recently how 40% of people in the population apparently are praying. 25% are zooming in, are connecting with live stream or services online. And I'm sure the question that many are asking is, what is this God like? And what I believe is that this psalm starts with the answer, or part of the answer to the question, what is God like? David starts his psalm by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. David, I think, is using his experiences as a shepherd on the hillside. I guess he was a king when he was writing this, but he started off as that shepherd on the hillside, remember? And I think he's using his experiences as a shepherd to shape what he believes and understands God to be like. He's like a shepherd leading, protecting, providing for his sheep, healing them, helping them. The adjectives could go on and on and on. These words describing what God is like by using this picture of the shepherd on the hillside. I want you to do something for me this morning, because I think there's a really important little word that we can overlook in this phrase. I want you to say this phrase. I want you to say it out loud where you are. Again, it might be a bit weird if you've got family around you. If you're on your own, it's much, much easier. Wendy in the garden, out 3 milestones, she's just mentioned that she's singing really loudly. Wendy, we want you to belt it out in your garden, please. Okay, I want you to say this, folks. I want you to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's what David says. That's what we can say. "The Lord is my shepherd." Let's say it together now. "The Lord is my shepherd." And what I pray is that as we look at this psalm together, as we meditate on it through the week, as we come back to it next Sunday morning, that the truth of who God is, the good shepherd, would really change us and touch us deep, deep down. I say, come Holy Spirit, show us, reveal to us what God is like, the good shepherd. He's good all the time. And that's such an important message in these days, that are difficult days in many ways, but we can't lose sight of the goodness of God, the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it and keep saying it. Linda's going to look at the next part of the psalm, the later part of the psalm, next week. But today I just want to look at one verse, and I feel that the Lord has given me this to share today. We were going to do it very differently, and I just felt that prompting of the Holy Spirit to say, no, we've got to look at this one phrase, verse 4. And it's a difficult phrase. It's a difficult phrase, but it's very pertinent to the times that we are living in. It says there in verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley. Some of the Bibles will say the valley of the shadow of death. It says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let me say that again. Let me read it again. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I'm not going to unpack that. There's a very good sermon by one of our preachers at church called Angela Noble. That if you go into the, listen again, I can't remember the date, but it's a while ago now, a very good sermon about this very, very phrase. I just want to make two comments. And they're two comments born out of experiences that I've had reflections or thoughts over the previous past few days or weeks. But each help us to understand and know this loving God, the Good Shepherd, and his care for us. And it's not just for these difficult days that we're in at the moment. This is for all of our lives. Firstly, I want to say this. A couple of weeks ago, Mark, could you put that slide up for me, that picture? A couple of weeks ago, I sat on a bench. If you go out from our house, you go through the woods, and there's some lovely sort of fields with pathways through them, and there's a stone bench in one of them. And you get this amazing view. You can see it on the screen now. This amazing view of Truro. And you can't really see it, but as I sat there and as I was thinking and praying about what the Lord was saying to me at this time, I noticed the cemetery, the city cemetery. And I'd never noticed this before, but my eye was drawn to it. And I realised that actually from this view of the city, the cemetery is almost at the highest point. And this place of death is overshadowing the whole of the city. I think we're feeling this kind of now, aren't we? This sense of we're walking in the valley of the shadow of death. We feel it when we turn the television on each day at 4:30, 5 o'clock or whatever it is, and we have to listen to, or we don't have to, but we're listening to these reports of how many people have died. We're remembering that each one of those people is a life, an individual, loved and created by God, not a number. Each person would be part of a family. So we recognise that we're really walking in the reality of this psalm in many ways right now. But I want to just kind of reflect on this a little bit. I sat with somebody recently who had been, and this is somebody none of you would know, but somebody who had been given the most devastating news about their health. The person was scared. And they were asking me, Matt, what's going to happen when I die? What's going to be? What's it going to be like? What? And we had this most amazing conversation, me and this person. They were looking for some kind of assurance. I said, have you trusted in Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour? They said, oh yes, Matt, I have. I said, have you asked forgiveness for the things that you've done wrong in your life? And they said, oh yes, Matt, I have. I said, have you invited God by his Holy Spirit to come and live and dwell within you and for you to seek and serve and live for him? Yes, Matt, I have. And I was able in that moment to talk to this person about the assurance that the Bible gives us that we can have for what lies beyond the grave when we have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving work, what he has done for us. And it was an amazing moment to journey with this person to a place of fear. And although it was still difficult, they were still frightened, to a place of assurance that they believed whatever happened, God was with them. And beyond the grave, he would be with that person would be with him, with God, with Christ. And it was the most amazing moment as I saw God at work, this person walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but finding light in the midst of it. Isn't that most amazing thing? Here's the truth for those who have put their trust in Christ. We can be sure of this. The Bible tells us so. That if we believe in him, if we trust in him, if we proclaim him as Lord over our lives, if we accept what he has done for us in Christ, seeking his forgiveness, accepting and asking for his Holy Spirit to come and live and dwell within us, death is not the end. Death is not the end. It's a step into an eternity where we will be with him. And he will be with us in the most amazing way. That's the truth, I believe. And though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, this is not going to go away. We know that this death is going to, we all face it one day. I read this week this passage. It said the last enemy to be destroyed is death. But it says in 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the reality. We are always going to be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But when we put our trust in Christ, we can have assurance that death is not the end. And this is really important. And this is the first thing I wanted to say about this passage from Psalm 23. That is the reality for us all. But you know, Jesus makes a difference in our dying, yes. But at the same time, he came to give us life, and life in all its fullness. So we want that life to begin now, don't we? And again, by his Spirit, he offers us that opportunity to live in the fullness of life. I confess, this week I was getting overwhelmed by it all. I was watching all the news, and every day there was a different part of culture or society that they were featuring that were struggling with the outcome of this coronavirus. It was driving instructors one day, and I hadn't even thought about this. They can't earn a living. They can't do their job because of social distancing. And it was this one guy, it was disastrous for him. And then there were all these different groups every day that we've been hearing about. And I started, I confess, to get a bit despondent about this, to feel a bit overwhelmed by it. I started to feel like I was walking in the valley of the shadow of death. And then yesterday I had to go and get a bit of kit from Mark and Hannah's for today. So I thought, I know, I'll walk over. And I put my headphones on and I put my Spotify daily mix on. Lots of different worship songs. And the song came up that we are about to sing in response to this time together this morning. And it's the song, I Raise a Hallelujah. I Raise a Hallelujah. Can I grab it, Holly? Is it there? And as I walked along, I started in my spirit to raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. And then it goes, I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I love that. Hope for up from the ashes, hope for, will arise. We were praying into that this morning at our pre-service meeting, our prayer meeting. We're praying into that hope coming for those who are mourning. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside me. As I walked along, I raised a hallelujah. I started to praise and I started to worship and I started to, a joy started to well up in me. And then it spilled into tears. As I at times I was weeping over situations. But as I walked and as I prayed, what people must have thought, I don't know. But as I walked and as I prayed, a song welled up inside of me. And what was despondency, what was it felt like I was walking through that valley. It was almost like I encountered and experienced the presence of God, and a peace was restored to my heart. I think, folks, we have got to do this. We've got to keep praying and praising and worshipping. We've got to keep taking hold of his peace, because that's the gift that is on offer to us. That's a gift of the Spirit that is within us. And even if, in the face of all this, you've just got a tiny bit of faith to take hold of this for you, it might seem like a real struggle, but even if you've just got a tiny bit of faith, you know what the Lord says? That's enough. It's a starting point. Take hold of it. Take hold of it.